God helps those who helps themselves. What? I mean, does he? If he helps people who helps themselves, how much do I have to help myself for God to help me? I mean, where's the line at? If God helps those who helps themselves, I mean, do I have to put in 40, 50%, 70%? I don't know. I mean, how about you? If God helps those who helps themselves, where's the line at? And who judges that anyway? I mean, if I got to help myself, who? I mean, does the church? Does the church tell me if I'm really helping myself enough for God to help me? How about the pastor? I mean, the pastor is the real spiritual one in the church. How about him? He'll tell me. I need to call him up and ask him, is God going to help me now? Because I'm coming to church now. I'm giving now even. I'm doing all this stuff. God helps those who helps themselves. Who really watches that and makes sure that I live that right? And how do you know? How do you know if you're really helping yourself? I mean, because there's just sometimes I come to church and I'm really not coming for me. I'm kind of coming, you know, just to be seen, or I'm kind of coming for wrong motives sometimes. And there's sometimes I'm giving and it's not really because I just love Jesus. It's just because that's the thing to do. Does God help those who help themselves? I mean, well, does he? See, I want you to use what I believe is some of the most unused creation in all the world. It's the thing in between your ears. I want you to think about this idea of some of the things that we say constantly, and even in church, maybe you've even heard sermons about how God helps those who helps themselves. But is that right? I mean, how? If you're in a pit and you can't get out, I mean, how much help can you be? Yeah, it's okay if you're like, oh, no, if I like what he's saying, that's all right. It's good, actually. I want there to be tension. I told you from the very beginning of the sermon series that there's going to be tension in this sermon series, and I want to keep the tension. Because in the tension, we grow and we expand. In the tension, we find the truth that can really set our hearts free. Let me put it in a better way. That was really kind of unfair the way I just kind of told it to you. So let me put it this way. As a follower of Christ, am I working towards something or am I working from something? Am I striving for something or because of what Jesus has done for me, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of the promise of the Holy Spirit, am I working from something? You might think, well, that's not much of a difference, but oh, yes, it is. Your whole life course can be changed by the simple idea, am I working towards something or am I working from something? You see, Paul and the Holy Spirit is going to make an argument to us today, not just to the church there in Galatia, the argument that because of Christ and His resurrection, we have already received everything that we need to live this life out for Jesus. Amen. In fact, not just Paul, but the apostles, the first church fathers, made sure that this message kept going on. Peter tells us in Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything. Say everything. We need for godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises so that through them, through the promises, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It is a message, it is a thought process that what Jesus did on the cross for us is enough. What Jesus did through the resurrection is enough. And the precious gift of the Holy Spirit is enough that really God doesn't help people who help themselves. Really, God helps people who come to the end of themselves. Amen. Well, I know the pushback is, well, what's our part? We'll get to that. But we've got to tear down something before we build something else back up. And it's this idea of that, okay, well, I'm going to do it. Let me put my 2 cents in, God. Let me even tell you what to do. Or let me grit my teeth spiritually and move forward. And it's not just the stupid stuff that we need to stop doing, because every one of us in this room have stupid stuff we need to stop doing. If you don't, I can point out a few things at the end of the service. First of all, your pride. We all have stupid stuff that we need to stop doing. It's not just the stupid stuff we need to stop doing, but it's the Jesus stuff we need to start doing. Amen. Because it's not just enough to stop sinning. We have been called into a higher life. A life of giving. A life of sharing. A life of doing what Jesus did. So, I'm going to tell you that you need to stop trying to get it and start letting Jesus live it through you. Amen. Because you already have it.
That's right.
I say, wow, I don't know if I believe that. Well, that's what the Bible tells us. That's what Peter just told us. That's what Paul is going to make the argument here in Galatians about. That Jesus has won it for us. We don't try to strive for victory. We live from victory. We don't try to earn our healing. We walk in our healing. We don't try to win our freedom. We've already been set free and we need to live out our freedom. It really does make a world of difference. So let me ask you with that idea, if it really has less to do with me and more to do with him, let me ask you a question, okay? Don't respond back to me. So who is it that really stops sinning in your life? Is it Chris that just, well, I just reached a point in my life to where I just stopped sinning. I'm strong enough now. So I'm going to stop sinning. Does Chris stop sinning? Jesus does through me. Who is it that starts moving in the works of the Spirit and now starts doing godly things? Is it Chris that starts doing godly things?
No.
Not Chris. Wait a minute. I receive. So how many people does Chris heal? None. How many people does Chris save? None. Does this church depend on Chris? No. It's all Jesus. He does it through me. Well, what's beautiful about the gospel is I don't deserve one bit of it, but he does it through me. And then one day when we get to heaven and we see him face to face, he's going to let me share in his reward. Isn't that awesome? And I'm going to stand there dumbfounded like, oh, I didn't even do it. Jesus, you did it. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We'll be talking about that here in a moment, what that really means. Okay? So, what is it that we're really responsible for? John chapter 15 tells us what we're responsible for. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What are you responsible for? Just abiding, getting in his presence, staying close to Jesus. Listen to me, church. I want you to hear me out. I believe, if you disagree with me about this, that's fine. It's not going to upset my lunch. But I personally believe that when I see Jesus face to face, I will not be responsible, held accountable for how many people I healed or didn't heal. Or how many times I preached and didn't preach. What I will be responsible for is, Chris, did you stay close to me? Because Jesus himself said, Chris, you can do nothing. Why would he hold me up responsible for something he knows I can't do? Amen. He's going to ask me, Chris, did you stay close to me and did you let me preach through you? Did you let me heal through you? Did you make sure you get close enough to me that you decrease and I increase in your life? It's different, isn't it? That's what we will be held responsible for. You see, God forgives, He restores, and He helps us, and He uses those who know you can do nothing. You can do nothing apart from Him. You may say then, the pushback is, you may say, and the people around Paul in this day said it, well, I'm still doing bad. I still got bad things going on in my life. I'm not doing the good I know I should do, even. So Jesus is not helping me, so I'm really not responsible for anything. That would be the notion of that, okay, if that responsibility is really not on me, it's all Jesus, and He's really not helping me stop looking at the things I know I shouldn't be looking at. He's not helping me stop doing the things I know I shouldn't be doing. You know what? If Jesus really wanted me not to commit adultery against my wife, He should have just helped me more. You're laughing, but I've heard that. What that's called is a license to sin. Some people think, okay, well, I'm not responsible. I got my heaven ticket punched, and I can just live like I want to. I have a license to sin. Wrong. Amen. Wrong. Because the fruit tells me there's something wrong with the tree. And you're not grafted into a branch. Amen? So it's not license. Say, it's not license. Well, on the other side of, well, if I'm not responsible, and if Jesus was really supposed to help me and live this out through me, and He's not doing it like I should, I still got addictions in my life, I got still doing the wrong things I know I shouldn't do, and I'm not doing the things I know I should do. If it's not license, preacher, maybe it's legalism. And so legalism tells us, well, Jesus is not doing enough and He's not doing it the way I think He should do it. So let me just, I know Jesus loves us, but let me just add something onto that and let me look for another way. Let me look for another blog to read. Let me make sure that I not only hold myself up to more laws, but I make sure everybody around me is held up to another law because I don't want to be the only one miserable in my house. I want to make everybody miserable in my house. And so it's legalism. I got to find some more things to do. Maybe it's tonight this. I got this and this, this and this, this and this, this and this, this. Maybe it's legalism. Wrong. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Say it's not legalism. It's not license. It's not legalism. What is it? It's love. It's loving Jesus. And loving people. It's love. A new command I give you. Love one another. What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's not license. It's not legalism. It's love. Tell me more about that. You're going to have to come back next week. We'll get more into that next week. But I want to go back to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1, Paul said, you foolish Galatians. Now this is part of the sermon where everybody gets really tense because he's just called out the deacon board. he's saying something really strong here. He says, who has bewitched you? The Greek language there actually means who has intoxicated you in the wrong way. Who's just got you all messed up that you're willing to leave the thing that I was willing to lose for to grab hold of, and you're trying to find either through license or legalism what Jesus has already given you? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Some scholars believe that some of the people here in this church actually saw Jesus on the cross. I don't know if I believe that. If you want to, that's fine with me. I'm going to tell you what I believe. It's because Paul was clearly given a gospel in a clear enough way that they could not say that they did not hear the gospel right. They couldn't say that. He says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? What you heard. That's why I believe it's because Paul preached the gospel. It's because of what they heard. That they clearly saw that Jesus was supposed to be enough for us. And because they believed that message, guess what they received? The Spirit. The Spirit. When they were willing to lose, something came.
Amen.
Oh man, I'm just getting cranked up. Hold on. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the grace of flesh? Excuse me. You're supposed to be finishing in grace. You started by hearing the gospel. You can't help yourself. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose from the dead and He sent the Holy Spirit. As you heard that message, you believed in your heart. Holy Spirit came. When you were willing to lose, something happened and you started this walk out with the Holy Spirit. It was all about love. It wasn't about license. You didn't go do the things you used to do because you loved Jesus and the Holy Spirit was there to convince you. Nor did you walk into legalism. You didn't have to read the latest blog about the new law out there. You just loved Holy Spirit. You just loved Jesus and He was working in your heart. You started that way, but something happened. And now you're trying to finish in a different way. I was watching SportsCenter the other day. By the way, you can do that. Holy Spirit is okay with that. I was watching SportsCenter the other day, and they showed a story of this track star who was running a race, and he jumped way out ahead of everybody. He had to race one. But something happened. In fact, why don't you show it? Let's just watch this and see what happened here.
Take my word for it. There's a moral to this story.
Yeah, it looked like a coronation for Tanjay Pepio. He's getting the crowd. He wants the crowd to cheer his performance. And at the end, he gets pipped. He gets pipped by Maren Simon of Washington. And you just can't do this kind of stuff, Lewis.
You can't. If you know, you see his face, and you know no one has to say anything. They don't have to explain it to him. He'll never make that mistake again.
He thinks he won. He's got it under control, and he starts pumping up the crowd. Come on, come on. And the dude flies right past him and wins. And you say, well, he got second. Second is just the first loser. What happened? And did you notice what they said at the end? Oh, he'll never do that again. Yes, we do. I mean, how many times we walk in our Christian life and we're like, okay, I got this under control now. Hey, thanks Jesus for starting me off, but let me handle it from here. Holy Spirit, I really needed you. Right on those first few minutes, I was just pouring my heart out at the altar, but now it's Monday, let me take over. And we're like, I got it. And guess what? We lose. Paul said, the same way you start is the way you finish. The same way you start is the way you finish. Because salvation isn't the finish line. Salvation is the start line.
That's right.
Paul says your race with God starts with grace, continues with grace, and will finish with grace. It will never be about what you did.
Right.
And the sign that Jesus or grace has come into your life, the sign, I need to know that I received this grace. God says, okay, I got you covered. Jesus said, I'm going away. Jesus was grace. He says, I'm going away. I'm going to give you another sign. I'm going to give you somebody else. The sign that you've received grace, the sign that you've received Jesus is Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's Holy Spirit. Take your legalism. If it's not the Spirit, I don't want it.
That's right.
Take your license to sin. I don't want it. It just leads to destruction. I want Holy Spirit. Because He's the one that brought me to the cross, and He's the one living in me now. He's the one that heals people. He's the one that saves people. He's the one.
That's right.
I want Holy Spirit. Think about it. The most precious thing God can give us, apart from His Son, Jesus Christ, the most holy thing God can give us is Holy Spirit. Think about it in the idea of law and the Jews and the Pharisees of the day. The thing that the high priest, the holiest of holy men's of that day. The high priest had to work all year for, had to make sure he followed all the religious customs to do and experience, the thing that he had to cleanse himself over and over again, the thing that he had to kill lamb after lamb after lamb to experience. He had to wear the right thing, say the right thing, do the right thing, look the right part. In fact, if he didn't get it right, they would put bells on the bottom of his little dress. And if he walked into it and he wasn't completely right, he would die. And they would hear the little jingle of the bells, and that wasn't the angel getting his wings. That was somebody dying. And so they dragged him out. That's the Holy Spirit presence of God.
Amen. Yes, it is.
That only one man who followed all the religious systems could ever experience. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy of Holies, the curtain separating the Holy of Holies, the presence of God between man, did what? Ripped in two. And now the thing that only one person had to be all set apart, not just one person, but you had to pray that you were born in the right family and then be chosen of this few people that were in the right family could ever experience. That thing, the Holy Spirit presence of God, is now being poured out freely on sinner Gentile people. Don't you think that messed up some religious folks? And now he's telling us, if we want the Holy Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit, you got to go through all the religious systems and things like that. Jesus tells us, if you want the Holy Spirit, just ask, and he'll give it to you.
That's right.
Oh, isn't this great, people? The ultimate spiritual experience of biblical times was to get into the Holy of Holies, to see the Shekinah glory of God face to face. And very, very, very few people ever experienced that. And now God says, I'm tired. I'm tired of that. I want everybody to experience that. So the ultimate line, the ultimate finish line back then, is no longer our finish line. We don't have to go into religious systems, into a holy of holy place. Now that finish line has become my starting line. Oh, come on, somebody. What used to be the finish line has become my starting line, and now I move forward. Now this is a new covenant. Now I get to walk in greater things. Greater things. Greater things. So what do you need to do? Not only has Holy Spirit become our new starting line, but he has become your lifeline. You can do nothing apart from him. Nothing.
Amen.
So God tells us, Christ tells us, the Word of God tells us, abide, abide, abide in him, stay in him. This is why the psalmist David, he wrote out, better is one day in your presence. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. He found out, he understood what was coming down the line. If you could just get in God's presence, it's enough. You don't have to go through religious systems. You won't be willing to walk through those fleshly desires anymore because God's presence is better. Better is one day in his courts than 1,000. One day. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Just like you started, keep going. So Holy Spirit fills you with love. Holy Spirit shows you the things to deal with. Holy Spirit leads you to people who will pray with you when you got issues in your heart. Holy Spirit heals you of your struggles. Holy Spirit empowers you to say no. Holy Spirit anoints you to do what Jesus did. Holy Spirit does. So let me ask you the question. Did you start with Holy Spirit? Now the reason I ask that question, I say, well, anybody saved did. I don't know Because there's some people who talk to me about Jesus as just a religious exercise. When I ask them, do you know Jesus, they start telling me about how many times they go to church. When I ask them about Jesus, they start talking about their granddaddy's or their grandmama's faith. When I ask them about Jesus, they start talking about how much of a good person they are. By the way, it's crazy. Can I just get on the soapbox for a second? What defines a good person to you? I asked people this past week. I said, what defines a good person? What's a good person? You know what I heard back? Well, I don't do this. Well, I don't do that. And I don't do this. And I don't do that. I mean, really, everybody I ask, they start telling me what they don't do. Is that a good person? Did God come, did Christ come to die on a cross so that you just don't do anymore? It's Holy Spirit. He has come to help us leave these things that will destroy our lives and move forward into the promise that God has for us. Amen. How do you describe your relationship with Jesus? Did you start right? Did you come to Jesus just because you don't want to drink or chew or date girls who do? Well, I came to church, Pastor, because I got caught stealing and drinking and I beat my wife. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to church. Come fix me. Come fix me. I don't want to do that stuff anymore. Fine. Stop doing the stuff, but you still need a Savior. Because even your good, even your not doing is going to lead you to hell. We have somehow watered down the gospel to some type of southern good old boy mentality. The gospel is not just saving you from what you used to did, but leading you into what you should be doing. I'm running out of time. Can I get a few more minutes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I promise I'm closing. So how did you start? That was the best joke I've told in a while, ain't it? I love that we can have fun here. So how do you start? How did you start? How did you start? Why are you even here? How did you start? How did you start in your walk with Jesus? It's a question you're going to have to ask yourself. How did you start? Here's the next question. Not just how you started, but are you continuing? How are you continuing to walk this out? Have you fallen into license? Have you fallen into legalism? Let me put it this way. When's the last time you really let Holy Spirit prick your heart about something? I mean, I'm talking about not like, well, I know I shouldn't, but I'm talking about like, maybe that, not that far, but and I'm not talking about this excruciating pain, but you just know, I'm talking about, you just know, like, you know what, that really doesn't please him, and you know what, that really is leading to my own destruction, and you know what, that's really getting in the way of me really living out this thing for Jesus. How are you continuing your relationship with Jesus? Here's the last one. Are you abiding or yielding to the Holy Spirit? Let me put it this way. When's the last time you got in God's presence so much to where you were like, this is life.
Amen. Yes, it is.
This is the living water.
That's right. That's right.
This is it. I'm not talking about being entertained. I'm talking about the deepest parts of your soul being filled with who Jesus is.
That's right.
The presence of God is the most valuable thing there is.
That's right. That's right.
And God gives the most valuable, most powerful, most precious thing He has to people who don't say, oh, I got it. I'm okay now. start pumping up the crowd, pumping up themselves. He gives the most precious, most valuable, most incredible thing there is to people who say, it's me, I'm the sinner, I need your help, because apart from you, I can do nothing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants to do. What's the Lord want me to do? What's the Lord want me to do? Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Duh. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've heard sermons about why you shouldn't drink based on the scripture, and we missed the whole point of the verse. What do people do when they come to the end of themselves? What do people do when they come to the end of themselves? They drink. They drink. I was talking to a guy at the gas station. He had two arms full walking out the door. Well, you shouldn't judge him. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not social drinking when you got two cases like this walking out the door. I said, what are you running from? He said, what? I said, what are you running from? What do you mean? What am I running from? I said, you've come to the end of yourself. So what are you talking about? And I knew the guy, so I had a little bit more liberty to push. And I said, man, what do people do when they come to the end of themselves? And he looked down at the cases and he said, I drink. I can't deal with it anymore. Come to the end of myself. I can't. And I pointed down at that alcohol and I said, that won't satisfy you. And that won't help you. And that will not empower you. And that will not give you wisdom. And that will not heal your heart. And that will not set you free. It'll just bound you up even more. Can I tell you of something better than Coors Light? Can I tell you I found a better fountain for you? Get drunk not with alcohol. Get drunk in the Holy Spirit. When you come to the end of yourself, get in God's presence. Run after Jesus. Get in His presence. Soak it up. Drink, drink, drink. I tell you, Jesus has already paid the tab. Take in as much as you want. Find a fount of living water and never thirst again.
Amen.
You stand on your feet with me. Worship team, Kyle, guys. My heart for you. My heart for you is that you don't be foolish about life. The guy who ran the track, he was foolish. There's people around you who have been foolish. They've gotten into, well, look at what I'm doing now. Or it's more about me. It's not about us. It's about Him. God puts it this way. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. And I got to ask you the honest question. Guys, when's the last time you really got in His presence? One of the things that we pray here over and over and over again is that this would be a place that God stirs up the waters. Because I know how dry it is out there. I know what you go through. It's hard. I know how the enemy attacks you so much. I know you fall back into legalism or you fall back into license. I know you've given up. Some of you have just honestly, you've given up. You've given up. But can I tell you, when you were at your worst, when I was at my worst, that's when God's love chased after me. That's when He saved me and filled me with His Holy Spirit. It was not on my best day. It was on my worst day. Well, today's pretty bad. Well, you're at a good place then. Because when you come to the end of yourself, that's where He starts. It's by grace. It's by grace. if you need him.